That was music by George Gershwin, arranged by Charles Sayre. We heard Slap That Bass and Embraceable You from Crazy for You, and a performance by the Brass Quintet of the United States Air Force Band of Flight, heard on Live and Local on FM 90.9, our program made possible with support from the Illini Union Hotel, located at the heart of campus. The Illini Union Hotel offers 72 newly remodeled guest rooms and two VIP suites with views of the main quad. More information is available at 333-1241 or on the web at union.illinois.edu. And we think we've solved our technical difficulty here on Live and Local, and we have actually right in front of me the five members of the Woodwind Quintet of the Army, Ground Forces Band. They're making a tour through Illinois, 9 stops through the 17th of February, and two of them are in our listening area tomorrow and Wednesday. Tomorrow's performance is at the University of Illinois in Urbana in Smith Music Hall, room 25. That's in the lower level towards the back of the building. Starts just a one-hour program from 11 to noon. And free. And then Wednesday at Illinois State University, Camp Recital Hall there in Normal. Again, that's a free public performance from 3 to 4 Wednesday afternoon. And we're pleased you're all able to swing by our radio studio in the midst of, you're calling this a whirlwind tour of Illinois. Why Illinois?
Well, I have the personal connection to Illinois. I grew up in a suburb of Chicago.
And you are Sergeant Darren Siegart.
Yes. And I actually earned my bachelor's degree at the University of Illinois back in 2001. So, music education.
And you are the clarinetist, I see. And so I've been here that period of time, and I'm wondering if I've run across you one way or another in the meantime. So you just kind of rigged up the tour. And
yeah, we were told that we should go on a tour for a couple weeks, and we decided the easiest way to do that would be to pick somewhere where at least one of us had a lot of contacts. And
where are you based?
Out of Fort McPherson, Atlanta, Georgia.
Why Illinois from there? Just, you might almost have other connections, I would think, that maybe are closer. You just wanted to get out of town. Why would you come here where it's... Well, of course, it's not exactly warm there right now either.
No, it isn't. there's been a little snow the past few days.
Yeah, so you're escaping. You're not escaping anything. As it
turns for me,
out.
It's coming back home. So.
Yeah.
And the deciding vote.
I was the deciding vote. It was either the Chicago area or Texas, and it was 2-2 before it came to me. And I wanted to come back to my old stomping grounds.
So, are some of you from Texas? Is that why Texas?
Yes. I pick Texas because it's warmer.
Is it actually? I mean, is that one of the places in the country that is right now or not?
Slightly.
Why were you told you needed to go on tour?
Well, we don't need to go on tour, but that is one of our missions to get the name of the Army bands out there and plant some seeds in there for future recruiting purposes, get some good musicians to come in from... some of the better high schools and college level musicians, as many great musicians as we can get in the Army Bands program. That's what we're looking for. So anytime we have a chance to perform for them, it kind of helps our cause a little bit.
Well, let's go back sort of to what should really have been an earlier question, which is kind of the basic role of your band in this case, the Army. I assume you're all part of the larger band, the Army Ground Forces Band.
Yes. we're but a small group, sure, from the larger ensemble.
So what's the main role of that particular band?
Well, the Army Ground Forces Band is there, we're there to support the Army Ground Forces, the Ground Forces of the Army. We're kind of the voice for them, and as Army bandsmen, as a whole, really, even on unit levels, we were there to bolster esprit de corps and just motivate soldiers, lift their spirits, you know, when we're overseas doing tours. And as Ground Forces Band, we do a lot of touring. We have several small groups. We, you know, rock band. We have a jazz band and some other, you know, small groups. And we just play music.
And speaking, it was the bassoonist, Sergeant Paul Ewert?
Ewert,
thank you very much. I didn't get to run through the pronouncers before we actually got going here as we're dealing with various things, trying to actually have
the show
happen.
Just wait till you get to the flute
happen.
Player.
Yeah, I've been prepped at least a little bit. We'll see how we do there. Do you follow the forces overseas then?
Well, say if the 1st Infantry Division gets deployed, the 1st Infantry Division band, they're going to be going with them.
And playing mostly for their entertainment or at will or...
Yeah, the band's major job over
in
there...
In the field?
The band's major job over there is to play for other soldiers, lift their spirits, so they can keep on doing the job that they have to do. And that's not always the easiest responsibility to undertake.
Sure.
To try and keep them in a mindset where it's not affecting them as much. Just a little bit of music can go a long way.
Do they ever turn to you and say, hey, give me the instrument, you go out there and
Actually, Sergeant Ewert deployed. He went to Afghanistan. He can...
I spent 13 months in Afghanistan deployed with the 82nd Airborne Division. And we traveled a lot all over Afghanistan, just playing for troops wherever we found them. Yeah, we'd set up in chow halls and defects and play for them as they were coming through. A few times we went out to, you go out to the smaller fire bases where there may only be 50, 75 soldiers out there, but we do our best to reach all of them when we can.
And what kind of reaction do you get?
Most of them love it. It's just kind of it helps relax them a little bit, let them escape from the stresses of a combat environment.
We had, I think it was last week, here at the Krannert Center at the University of Illinois, we had the Band of the Irish Guards, and I talked with a director, and he said that they were 99.99% music. That's what they did. We also had the pipes and drums and some Highland dancers from two of the Scottish regiments. And they were, in fact, in the field frontline soldiers who also play. And so his comment was, he said, they're real soldiers. Said, well, of course, we're soldiers, but they're actually out there doing the thing, and then they take their instruments along and sometimes play as well. Do we have any equivalent to that in the U.S. military system that you know of?
Well, we all go to basic training. We all go to the firing range at least twice a year. So just if you're ever deployed, just being in the nature of that environment, you have to be ready.
Sure.
For anything. So we're trained just like all the other soldiers. And anytime there's a deployment, then we're going through just as much training for all the combat-related activities. So that we're ready just in case. That may not be our main job while we're over there, but we're ready to go. If World War III hits, then we're probably putting down our instruments. But
let's not talk about that. We don't even want to think about that. Well, since you do have your instruments in your hands, why don't we hear you play something? What
sounds great? This is
good. First choice.
This is the Dance of the Buffoons by Rimsky-Korsakov, arranged by Bill Holcomb.
And it's the Wind Quintet of the U.S. Army Ground Forces Band here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Thank you. Quintet of the Army Ground Forces Band from the United States Army here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. They're in our studio a day before their first of two performances in our listening area tomorrow at the University of Illinois from 11 in the morning to 12 noon at Smith Hall and on the campus in Urbana, and then Wednesday from 3 to 4 at Illinois State University in Kemp Recital Hall. And what again was the name of the piece you just played?
That was Dance of the Buffoons by Rimsky-Korsakov.
Right. And I'm just in, while you were playing through there, I was sort of skimming through your biographies and learning a little bit about your various interests, which is kind of fun if anybody wants to know some of these things. For example, I see that here, I'm going to try this now, a specialist, Gökben Gürdemir.
It's very close.
What would be closer?
Gökben.
Yeah.
Gürdemir.
Oh, thank you very much. And modern dance is one of your interests.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that you have done at all professionally or just
in
school?
I did. I took lots of modern dance classes. I also took tango, rock and roll. I took some waltz class. I took lots of dance classes. And one of my good friend is actually a ballerina, and so we've been friends, I believe, since we were 9 or 10 years old. So she was a professional, and she went to conservatory, and I was always with her and watching with her. Then I was like, okay, I think I can try to do that. I wasn't doing as a professional, but I enjoyed dancing, so I took lots of classes.
So when the the quintet goes to entertain the soldiers. Does that ever figure into the group entertainment that you get to dance?
I wish, maybe at the feature.
Well, there you go. It's out there, guys.
I don't know with the uniform how it's gonna work, but we'll find some.
And playing paintball as well.
Yes.
Do they ever go together, the dancing and the paintball?
Well, I think we can try to do that too.
Look at all these ideas. I mean, if this ever happens, I want credit right here.
Paintball and start with my cousin, my favorite cousin. And he was always going to play paintball. And they were taking with me with them, but he's actually about 6'3 or 6'4, and I'm 5'1. And all his friends are pretty tall. And they were trying not to hurt me. So
that's what they said they were trying.
Well, they were actually ignoring me most of the time, and I was kind of getting frustrated. I was like, I'm here too. Hello, I want to play. So it's how it starts.
So did you start running a guerrilla operation?
All the tactical movements she's learned in the Army probably
yes.
Gave us a good use.
Yeah. Well, he's in the Air Force, but...
And Specialist Gudemir?
Yes.
Something like that. I can't do the thing with the R at the end. Is the flutist in the quintet. And the oboist, I'm not sure your name is any easier. Kaylin Eskander or something like that?
That's perfect. Yep. Kaylin Eskander.
How about that? From Missouri. And Frisbee figures in one of your interests, as it does mine. But I'm not sure if that would fill in the entertainment thing that soldiers aren't already doing.
I enjoy playing frisbee, mostly just catch. That's why I didn't put ultimate frisbee.
you're not a thrower, huh?
Yeah, not necessarily. I enjoy playing that with my husband and our dog at the park.
Oh, then the husband, or rather. The dog, I'm sure, does not do any of the throwing either.
No, he's not very good at that.
Yeah, but the catching part. And Sergeant Andrew Dykes Jr. is the one we have left off, the horn player. And you actually talk a little bit in your bio about why you ended up in the military band, which was actually a question that I kind of wanted to ask the group of you. I remember this was something that I considered when I was a horn player in high school and actually majored in horn in college. First part of college, and I remember thinking about going into one of the military bands, and I honestly can't remember at this point why I decided not to, but why did you guys decide to do it, Sergeant Dykes, maybe for starters?
Well, there's the loan repayment up to $65,000 for 3 years of service, which was a huge motivating factor. There's also enlistment bonuses that they offer for instruments that they do need. All Army musicians skip three ranks. They start off E4, and they also receive the civilian acquired skills bonus, which is an additional $4,000 on top of all the other bonuses. I myself needed some serious medical insurance and got it. And it cuts down on the amount of work you actually have to do. Sometimes in the civilian world, you have to hold down two or three jobs to make ends meet and have the proper coverage, and with the Army, it's just the one. I get all the benefits I need, all the money I need, and don't have to sweat so bad. I'm not living off of ramen noodles anymore.
Ramen noodles can be all right for a short period of time. What's E4?
In all the military services, they all have an equivalent E something. Enlisted one would be private. E1 is your lowest level private. So if you come in as an E4, that's a specialist in the Army. So you've automatically been given a rank as a musician, the fourth rank up. You've skipped the private ranks altogether. So it goes all the way from E1 through E9. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's the officers. In the band field, the enlisted play and the officers conduct.
Hmm. And is there equivalent outside of the music field in the military where that happens, where you come in as something that skips various levels?
Perhaps engineering or any. I'm not sure off the top of my head, but I would imagine that the Army has a couple of other military occupational specialties.
Doctors.
That require you know, civilian training before you come into the Army. But I would imagine that most of them are on the officer level. Legal, yeah. Lawyers, doctors.
Yeah, lawyers, doctors.
Engineers.
They all become officers, though. As far as the enlisted side of things, to be able to skip a few of the ranks automatically.
Musicians
are one of the only ones, I think.
And then ROTC, you come out with some sort of officer ranking, don't you?
E3. ROTC, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What are some of the other reasons that you guys decided to
We all have our own different reasons. I know when I was in high school, I didn't even know it was an option. When I was in college right here, I had heard about it, but I thought never in a million years. After college here,
And here is at the University of Illinois.
Yes, right here at the University of Illinois.
Woohoo!
Go Illini! I did a few different things. I studied at Boston Conservatory for a little while, came back, started teaching band for a few years. I taught nearby Kankakee. And for those 2 years, I loved the teaching. I loved my students. I was not the greatest fan of being a teacher where I was at. I was trying to find some other better positions elsewhere, but I didn't have 10 years experience. And so I just started looking at my options a little bit. And once I found out about all the benefits that the Army had to offer, it was almost a no-brainer at that point.
And benefits figure large in the rest of your choices as well?
Definitely for me. I was in a similar position to Sergeant Dykes, where had been out of college and uninsured for a number of years and wanted to start a family. So I figured health insurance would probably be beneficial in that pursuit. And I got a degree in music performance, and so I was freelancing, waitressing, substitute teaching, various different jobs, none of which provided health insurance or which yielded enough extra income to really purchase it on my own. So that was a big factor for me, as well as the student loan repayment. When I learned about that, I asked, where's the dotted line?
A lot of people have heard about the GI Bill, but especially musicians, we can rack up a lot of student loans. And when you come into the Army, you get to choose whether you want your loans to be paid off if you already have a lot of college training, college degrees under your belt, or if you want to get the GI Bill, which gives you the option of going to college after your service. So you can pick one or the other, and I think just about all of us here, except for maybe Paul.
Except me.
a lot of our college-trained musicians, that's how we start to snag them. That's one of the first things they find out, that we pay up to $65,000 worth of student loans in the Army.
Mm-hmm. And
mine was different, actually. As you can hear from the accent, I'm not from here. I'm from Turkey, and I actually went to high school, college, university in Turkey, and moved here about 5 years ago with no English, so I had to learn English first. And the reason I moved here, I didn't move, actually. It was vacation, and that was the graduation gift from my father, from the college graduation. And I came here to learn English, visit my cousins, and see different life, different country. And 3 months later, I realized I cannot learn English in 6 months. And I was like, Dad, I don't think I can learn English in this short time. So he said, okay, why don't you stay longer and you can start the school? And I said, okay. So I started school for the English class, and it was pretty slow, so I kind of get bored from the school, so I stopped. I was like, I think I need to talk with people I can learn easier and quick. And so I didn't have any loan for the school because I already went to school in Turkey. I didn't have any of those things, but I met with the lucky guy, and I already had health insurance from him because he's also in the military. He is in the Army. He used to be in the Navy. And we were living in Virginia Beach, and the School of Music for the Army, Navy, and Marines were so close to my house. And I just drove there one day and met with the people, and I kind of like Army better. And also, my husband is also in the Army, so I choose Army to join.
Otherwise, he might have disowned you if you'd have chosen some other branch of service.
Well, there's a possibility for other branches, but...
You played it safe. Yeah, and
yes.
Close.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, why don't we hear some more music in addition to
Sounds
conversation
good.
Here. This is the Army Ground Forces Band Woodwind Quintet at the University of Illinois right now. Going to play on campus tomorrow from 11 to 12, and then at Illinois State University on Wednesday from 3 to 4. What's next up?
Well, as Army musicians, our program for all the concerts we're doing is to try and show our versatility. And it's great to be able to play the classical music all the time, but we really don't have that option. We have to play what people might like to hear, and we have to play in lots of different venues for different types of gigs. And it gets some people out of their comfort zone sometimes. We're going to play a little jazz standard here for you today. It's called St. Louis Blues by W.C. Handy.
On Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Thank you.
Great, on Live and Local, hearing the wind quintet of the Army Ground Forces Band, going to be playing at the University of Illinois tomorrow and at the Illinois State University on Wednesday. Since we did get a late start, I want to be sure to give you some time to play some more music, actually. But one quick question, I noticed that you're on some of your tours anyway. You do master classes and clinics for students at high schools and colleges. Are you doing some of that on this tour, and in particular at these two? I guess these are the last two performances in your
Illinois tour. on these, no, a lot of students' schedules just don't seem to match up to be able to make something like that happen, unfortunately. Just to be able to play for as many of, especially the woodwinds, students as possible, it was all they could do at the universities to get them all together all at the same time. In a format where we could play for them all and be able to talk to all of them at the same time. So individual master classes and things like that might not have a chance to happen. But it seems like just about every college that we've been to so far, there seems to be a student, at least one or two, that might come up to one of us and see if we have time for a private lesson. And in a few cases, we've been able to make arrangements for that. So
good. And then, as you said, you're trying to make a case for the music program in the military. So anybody come up to you and said, hey, how do I do what you're doing during any of these tours?
Well, it does require an audition process.
Sure.
Then there's different portions to that. You got to know your scales. That's 10%. 40% is something you can bring in on your own, something you've worked up. But 50% is sight reading. As you can imagine, in the Army, we may not have a lot of time to get ready for our performances. Sometimes we only have one or two rehearsals. And that's why they hold sight reading so high. So if you're a quality musician, and especially if you can sight read music pretty well, then we may have a spot for you. There, you can talk to any local recruiter, and they will call out a special band liaison to give you an audition. Or if you live nearby a base, a lot of the Army musicians on those bases are able to give auditions as well.
As the director of a youth orchestra, I'm so glad to hear you say the emphasis on scales and sight reading.
Scales and sight reading. It's a pretty big deal.
You're not the first to thank us for mentioning that on this tour.
I bet not.
And the scales, the minor is actually all three forms.
Oh, very good.
Yeah,
They ask one of everything.
You know, a major, and then they'll ask you one of each different form of minor scales. So
there's so many times I ask for a minor scale, even when it's on the list of things they knew they were supposed to prepare. Like, and then that's as much as I get of the minor scale. What have you got next, either in a major or minor key?
Well, as you can imagine, in the military bands, we play a lot of marches. And regardless of whether or not we're in an actual marching band setting, even in a woodwind quintet setting, we need to be able to play marches for some of the smaller ceremonies, you know, little small rooms and a little ceremony going on in there. And you can't fit an entire marching band in there, so they might request a brass quintet or a woodwind quintet. So we have the Liberty Bell by John Philip Sousa.
In other words, the Monty Python theme.
You'll have to imagine the percussion.
Yeah. Thank you. That's a great march, whether you associate it with Monty Python or not. But I've always liked that piece, but it's sort of hard to have that association. As a former horn player, Sergeant Dykes, I have a question for you. How do you feel about playing marches in general?
Wow, that's a good question.
And I'll tell, before you answer that question, I'll tell listeners why I'm asking, and you might know the reasons I'm asking. You probably do. It seems that in marches, the horn, the French horn, either gets to play off beats, meaning but, or just like in this one, that. Mm-hmm. That's why is that? Any idea?
I have no idea, but it has been my mission. Before I die, I will write a symphony. And I will write a march that has a decent horn part. Yeah, something other than offbeats or, yeah, that 6/8 rhythm. The trick is to just not go brain numb, brain dead during them for the most part. I just listen to the surrounding harmonies, the melody, and just kind of focus on that and kind of fit myself into that and don't think about my part. Otherwise, I...
Other than trying not to get lost.
Yes.
While you're listening to everybody else. I remember... Years ago, I played, when I was in high school, I played in a state festival or regional festival in Pennsylvania, and the conductor chose a program that was entirely marches. The whole, just imagine if you're in district band or regional band or whatever, and you do nothing but marches, and if it's a horn player, it was just horrible.
I don't care who you are.
Except, that's right. Although,
program of all marches.
If you're a flute or piccolo player, I think you'd have a better
it's
time
a little
of
more
it.
Interesting, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd keep you awake.
Too.
And yet, out of that, I came out of that with one of my own favorite marches, which also happens to be a 6/8 one, not unlike what you just played, Sousa, the Black Horse Troop.
Yes, that's a good one.
Well, we have just a couple of minutes left here on Live and Local with the Wind Quintet of the Army Ground Forces Band. And just to recap once more, tomorrow they'll be at the University of Illinois Smith Music Hall in Urbana, room 25, which is in the lower level, playing an hour's program from 11 a.m. to 12 noon. It's free. And then Wednesday at Illinois State University at Kemp Recital Hall in Normal, that's from 3 to 4, also a free program. And I want to say thanks to all five of you for coming in today.
It was our pleasure.
Thank you.
And clarinetist Sergeant Darren Siegert, the bassoonist Sergeant Paul Ewert, the horn player Sergeant Andrew Dykes Jr., oboist, right, specialist Kaylin Iskander, and the flutist, specialist Gürkben G.G. Gürtemir. I understand why you probably get G.G. quite a lot. And I don't remember who's on tomorrow's show. I didn't write it down, but we'll have a show tomorrow from 12 to noon here on Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and coming up in just about a minute, I'll give you a weather forecast, and we'll have news headlines at 101, classical music at 106, and I'll let you guys take us out with something. What's it going to be?
This is Navalette in C by Poulenc, arranged for the Woodwind Quintet.
Thank you all very much. Thank you. to be a cloudy afternoon with periods of light snow and flurries. Our high about 25. Cloudy tonight, a few flurries expected, the low 15. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a few flurries and a high of 29. This is WYLL 90.9 FM in HD Urbana, operating translators W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana, the listener-supported broadcasting service of the College of Media at Illinois.